Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this part of the service where we hear your word. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, and that they would be active in us. Not just telling us something, but actually creating joy because of all the wonderful blessings that you have done and given to us. Lord, speak to us now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, as Karen said, for the children's message, this Sunday is a little bit different when we look at the Advent candle because it's pink. You know, we move away from the dark purple, or maybe you remember even the blue, the kind of dark blue, to pink. Each week has a emphasis. Week one is hope. Hope of a coming Messiah. Week two, peace. Peace that this Messiah will bring, not just between us, but between us and God. And now, in the midst of it all, we have great joy. Joy. And yes, this season, the Christmas season, is one of joy. You know, I can't help but to think of the lights and the Christmas carols and the decorations that bring joy. Maybe you remember sometimes that the lights and the Christmas tree has just put that smile on your face. Growing up, it was a neighborhood not too far from where we lived where every street had a different theme. And it would take hours to drive through because of all the cars. But turning down a new street, there would be another theme. And, you know, one would be Star Wars and the next would be, you know, angels and soldiers and all of this other stuff. And I remember just the joy of seeing that hanging out the window because we were in Texas and didn't have, you know, the cold. And me and my sister, you know, were, yeah, let's go. It was great. You know, maybe the joy, that kind of joy isn't the same now, but it's seeing the joy on my children's face when they see the holiday decoration, the lights. It's joyful because of the presents, the family get-togethers and the presents and the gifts that are exchanged. I'm sure we could all quickly think of some gifts, you know, maybe growing up for the adults or even some that we received, you know, not too long ago for the children. Two pop into mind, and I don't know why these two when I think of that. A baseball glove that my grandparents gave that I use for Little League. Think of it, and I think of joy. I think of a bicycle, a red Coca-Cola bicycle that my aunt and uncle gave me that they redeemed from all the little, you know, think of the 80s, the little red, you know, Coke tabs. And if you saved enough, you know, what a gift that they saved all of those to give to me, a bike. You know, it's pretty cool. Again, not so much now in gifts, but in the giving of the gifts and all of that. This season is a season of great joy. But I think sometimes our world hijacks the true joy that comes from this season. It's really not, as we heard in the children's sermon, it's not about the lights. Because they do come down. Maybe it is in January, the first part of it, or the last part of it, or even into February, if you're a little slow, like some of us are, to take them down. But they do come down. And the presents, you know, as a boy, I remember breaking a lot of those presents not too long after opening them, and they're not useful anymore. But joy comes from Jesus, the wonderful story. You know, it's the shepherds. If you were here a couple weeks ago and on Wednesday, you heard the shepherds and that good news that was proclaimed by the angels. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. That's where the joy comes from, what Christ is doing for us, a Savior. Even in his name, Jesus, or Joshua, we get the message, the Lord saves. And so there is true joy in this story. You know, there's just some things that go together, right? Peanut butter and jelly. Socks and shoes. Tom and Jerry, if you're a cartoon fan from a while back. If you like ice cream, it's Ben and Jerry. You know, whatever it might be, there's things that kind of come together, and they're just together. Well, in the scriptures, joy and salvation go hand in hand. Where there is salvation, there is great joy. Where there is joy, truly, it comes from the salvation of the Lord. And so we see that in the scriptures. We can go to King David in the Psalms, you know, where he has made a huge mistake. He has fallen greatly, you know, with the sin of Bathsheba and even causing Bathsheba's husband to be killed in the war. And what does he cry out to God? Not just forgive me, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Not just kind of wash me clean or make me whole again, but create that joy that comes from your salvation that isn't just about right now, but as it continues on to even the coming of the Messiah that you promised long ago. Isaiah. We've been in Isaiah in the Old Testament passages this Advent season. A couple weeks ago, it was, you know, Isaiah 3, and then last week was Isaiah 11, and it was about peace that is coming. The lion will lay with the lamb, and the children will play over the den of the adders and the vipers and all of that. We'll beat our swords into plowshares. In chapter 12, right after what we read last week, it says, with great joy we will draw from the wells of salvation. Again, that connection of joy and salvation go hand in hand. Because of what is coming in the day of the Lord that Isaiah is prophesying about, there will be joy because salvation is here. That's the Christmas story, right? The whole thing from the beginning to the end is one of great joy. Last Wednesday with Elizabeth, we heard of joy, right? After the angel had come to Zechariah and told him that his barren wife will have a child by the hand of God, and the angel comes to Mary and says, the power of the Lord will overshadow you and you will have a child. She goes to the hill country of Judea. And there, when Mary comes to Elizabeth, she's saying, you know, what a great honor it is that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me. And that is a loaded statement. The mother of my Lord, the Savior of the world. That's who you are carrying in your womb, Mary. And what does John do? As salvation draws near. Moved by the Holy Spirit, John in the womb of Elizabeth leaps for joy. Leaps for joy as salvation draws near. We have great joy. We're filled with joy. And you can take that even deeper, you know, theologically. You know, I love verses in the scriptures that show us the Trinity, or at least multiple people within the Trinity, because it helps us to understand that hard concept of three and one, three persons, one God, and all of that. And how does it all work? And what do they all do? Here we have two people of the Trinity. In Mary's womb, we have the Son taking on flesh for us. In Elizabeth's womb, we have John the Baptist, and we have the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there working so that he can leap for joy. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He points us to Christ. He points us to Christ. His role is to open our eyes to see Christ as our Savior so we too can be filled with great joy. And so when we hear the words of God, whether it be through the children in a children's program or a pastor or reading the scriptures or wherever it might be, that we would see Christ as our Savior, be filled with joy and rejoice. Doesn't stop with Mary and Elizabeth, but even the wise men, after they leave King Herod and head from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and the star stops over the home, they are filled with great joy as they go into worship. Not because it's some baby or just pregnancy or a good birth or anything like that, because salvation has drawn near. And salvation then leads to proclamation, to proclaim it. I am sure that a majority of us, maybe not all of us, but a majority of us over the next 2 weeks or even through the holiday season of New Year's as well, we will post something on social media about how, you know, we're filled with joy. Whether it be the presents that our children are opening or a meal with family to show how our family has gathered together, something about that we will post because it's a joyful time, right? And if we're going to do that, how much more should we proclaim the message of salvation? That Christ has come. That Christ has come. Because it's not just about circumstances, right? It's not just about where we are, but what he has done. I mean, that's the message of John the Baptist today. We had him last week. Repent! The kingdom of God or heaven has drawn near in Christ. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath coming? You know, all of those fiery words, and now John the Baptist isn't proclaiming in that way. Instead, he's in prison. He's in prison, and he sends his disciples to Jesus to ask a pretty important question. Are you the one? Or are we to expect another? And Jesus could have easily answered, yes, I am he, or I am the one. However he would answer, but instead he goes again back to Isaiah. He goes to the Old Testament and say, here's what you say. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the lepers are healed, the dead are being raised, and the gospel message is being proclaimed. Salvation is at hand. John, I'm not coming to save you. I know that's what you want. You know those Acts stories that will happen later on in history? It's not going to be your story. But salvation is here. Joy is coming, not because of where you are, because John probably sees the writing on the wall. His head's on a silver platter pretty soon. But salvation is drawing near because I am going to the cross. I am doing what Messiah has come to do, to save his people, to bring about salvation. And so therefore be filled with joy even as you are locked in a prison cell. And that's the wonderful message that we proclaim. You know, things might not be the best, but we proclaim it because Christ has won the victory for us. Christ has won the battle, and we can rejoice in him. And not just proclamation, but praise as well. Salvation, the joy that salvation brings, leads us to proclaim it, but yet also praise God for it. That's, again, the shepherds, they go and tell and they praise God for all that they had seen and heard. Mary, when she is told by the angel that a baby is born and he's the Savior of the world, breaks out in song. Breaks out in song, the Magnificat, that the leaders, the rulers, the high and lofty of this world will be brought down, but yet the lowly will be lifted up. That God has come to save his people. Praise God. Praise God for what he has done. Because this salvation, this joy is yours. Are you filled with joy this Christmas season? You should be. You should be, because joy is about Jesus. And this season is about what he has done for you. He's gone to the cross. He's paid the price so that you can live with him forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the sending of your Son to bear our sins, to go to the cross, to be our Savior, to bring forth salvation. For without him, we would be lost, condemned, hopeless. But through him, we have joy. Fill our lives with joy, not a happiness that comes and goes with seasons or lights or music or anything else, but comes from what you have done, and allow it to overflow. First, in praise, proclamation of who you are and what you have done. Lord, there are others in this world that needs to hear this message, and give us courage to do that. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This time we receive our offerings.